Penis, 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 penis.
We gonna go viral with this one.
What's up, newcomers? Welcome back to the Cum Posting Podcast. I'm your cumcelierge, Renis Rosa, joined as always by my wacky co-host, Joku.
Hi. I just took a hit off my pen, so there's like gonna hopefully be a...
Can you say something wackier?
Dude,
that was fucking scary. I think that you should be sent to Punishment Park for that. Wait a minute. That's the name of the movie.
That is the name of the movie that we watched.
Today, we are going to be recording our most leftist episode yet. We're talking about the 1971 film Punishment Park, directed by...
It was directed by someone.
I don't know why we never planned for this, and we opened up...
No. It was directed by Peter... Watkins?
Peter Watkins, dude. I love Peter. I love Peter, man. Yeah. You know, I took the last plot synopsis. So, it's your turn, my friend. Why don't
I'm not your friend. I'm your co-host.
You're my co-worker. You're my employee, so...
Yeah, am I employed under you?
Give the plot synopsis or you're fired.
I'm already, like, basically fired. I get, like, $1.
Yeah, you... That's your fault. Maybe if you worked harder, I would be incentivized.
And I pay, like, the shit for the podcast, which is funny.
Yeah, so you're making negative $19. It's like slavery, yeah, but basically. Even more messed up, because I charge you for the privilege of being my servant.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have a plot synopsis to give. So, basically... Little commies, who revolt and show like anti-American sentiment toward the United States are punished, and these punishments are either you get to go to jail
or
you get to go to Punishment Park.
And I know what you're thinking. Punishment Park, that's my favorite porn parody of Parks and Rec. And you're half right, because it's shot like The Office, like Parks and Rec. It's a mockumentary, but you don't get Leslie with high heels and a whip. Instead, you get pigs.
In high heels and a whip.
Chasing you through the desert, like the most dangerous game.
That's true. Yep.
So the narrative structure of this movie, it's very engaging, I would say.
Yeah.
We have, much like The Office, an A plot and a B plot. Now, the A plot is, three groups of people where we have what I'd split them into are communists, rad libs, and liberals. Those three groups, we follow their journeys through the desert in which they're given 2 days with a few hours head start to make a 50-mile journey to the American flag. And if the police stop them at any point during their trek, if they quote unquote resist at all, they're basically as killed. Or if the police want to kill them, they're as killed. So it's a lot like real life.
Yeah, they just get to do whatever they feel like.
It's sick. And while this is going on, and our three groups are going this way, we get a B plot where we get to see the kangaroo court that a ensemble of radicals of all stripes are forced to go through. Now, why don't you take the court thing, and I can take the desert, because I got a lot to say about that.
I feel like there's a lot to say on both ends.
Yeah.
I touched my Mikey phone. Now, I was adjusting it. Calm down. I saw that little facing.
This is the first episode we've recorded since... The first...
It's not.
The first actual usable episode that we've recorded...
So far,
usable. We'll see. That we've recorded since launching, and... I have spent countless hours editing out lollipop chewing, mic touching, rubbing the cheek up against the mic, randomly getting like putting the mic in your mouth. You're like, it's like if you took a microphone and put it in a baby's crib and it started like hitting it and chewing on it like a toy. Love you to death, by the way.
What can I say?
Love you.
Love
you to death, by the way, but... God.
I'm just a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I, like, at a certain point, calling you out, it feels ableist. Because it's like, there has to be something going on with all that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
Subscribe to the Patreon. $1 equals one prayer for Joku. May their illness be cured. Yeah, but won't you take it with the B plot, and that's the court.
So basically, we're in our little courtroom with a bunch of proud.
I got a list of characters if you want me to read them off to refresh your memory.
Yeah, you could read them off.
Okay, first up, first guy on the stand is Mr. Brown, who is a black radical. He sort of represents a black nationalist, think Farrakhan, sort of taking a liberal nationalist mode of analysis and applying it to black liberation in a way that's very subversive to the U.S. status quo. Yo, it's me in editing right now, and I just want to make clear that this isn't to be dismissive of the achievements of Farrakhan. I'm going to link to a more nuanced analysis in the description. Obviously, I just said that in passing, but I don't want to come across as some out-of-touch white bitch. Which I am. Don't get me wrong, but... more nuanced analysis in the description. Check it out. Fight the power! Then we get Jay Kaufman, sort of a hippie peace activist, taking the stand. Mind you, all these people, there was kind of yelled at by a group of like government bureaucrats, a white woman.
Who looks like Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, who's there on behalf of the Silent Majority of American Families Association, which is very funny. Hmm. Nancy Jane Smith, a singer-songwriter who assaulted a cop and sings songs about how Santa Claus is coming to town with bombs and AKs and that you should blow up your nearest building.
Based as hell.
In a movie. In a movie.
In a movie.
Then we have Vosh, if he was a liberal. So Vosh, except instead of a Vosh liberal, he's a pacifist. I love you, Vosh. And I hate you, Vosh. I want to bridge the gap between Vosh lovers and haters. He's basically a conscientious objector. He's a liberal. His mode of analysis falls flat, but subversive to the status quo. So they want to put him in fucking Punishment Park. Then we have Charles Hobbins, who is the most abused character and the only character of all of these members of the trial to be sentenced for life. Would you like to talk about him?
He is an African American.
He's a black man.
He's a black man.
And he runs the People's Army. I wonder what that represents. Our favorite episode of Composting, Judas and the Black Messiah. Remember that episode? That one was awesome. What was your favorite part of that episode?
Oh my god. When you, like, got on the table and you were, like, belly dancing.
You get a full frontal of me, a full behind of you. And that happened.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was my... Only real ones remember it.
If you don't know what that is, you're a fake fan. You know what would make it up to me? Subscribing
to the Patreon. And giving us 5 stars on Amazon podcast.
Unlike my co-host who gave us a 1-star rating.
I gave us a 5. I don't know how it became a 1. I fixed it though.
I like how you believe me. Your review literally says, I had an organism, and it's a 1-star. I'm like, no one else would write that.
It was good. No, I said it was good. Title. And then description, I had an organism.
That's awesome. I'm proud of you, buddy. I know you have trouble getting it up. So, that's a big achievement. But...
I really do.
You have erectile dysfunction because you're on spironolactone. Quasimodo, play a sad sound effect. Quasimodo, play some emotional music. Every year, billions of jokus suffer from erectile dysfunction. And when they're doing T for T puppy girl roleplay, they can't get it up. Now if you donate to the Patreon, maybe we can afford a Viagra prescription for our good friend Joku. Or maybe you hate trans people. I don't know. It's your call, man.
Hi. Donate to allow me to have awesome T for T puppy girl sex so my PP works. Thank you.
Now back on track. Charles Hobbins, he represents the Black Panthers. He's treated as the most dangerous and the most correct in the film, which results in him in a clear allusion to the famous Chicago 5 trial. Being physically, his mouth taped shut and restrained during sentencing. Which, I mean, if you know anything about the Chicago 5 trial, you can see the parallels there. And he's given life or a choice to go to Punishment Park, which all of the people in the jury get, like, anywhere between 7 and 20 years for bullshit nothing crimes, they're given that option of Punishment Park, and they take it. And that's how the movie ends. But when all of this is happening, we see a cast of wacky characters go to Punishment Park in their quest for the American flag. Now, like I said, we got three groups. The commies.
Radical liberals.
Rad lib socialist, maybe. Semi-radical politics, but not really. And then you have the liberal pacifist. Pacifists. So, we're gonna break down this allegory of the desert, and you're in a pursuit to the American flag. Now, what does this mean? Well, the system, in this case, the police representing the state, because they're the mechanism through which the state practices its authority. The state provides the people within Punishment Park a way to get ahead, to escape their troubles, their exploitation, and that is through taking the chance to go on a menial slog through a desert, which is impossible, and if you ever try to make it through, you will be killed, but there's a chance it will happen. What does that sound like to you, Joku?
It sounds like the prison system.
It sounds like capitalism.
Oh!
No.
So the prison system!
Yeah. So, I don't want to get too heady. There's this Italian guy. His name's Antonio Gramsci. I don't know how to speak Italian.
It's a pizza.
His name's Tony Pepperoni. And he said, "And when the bourgeoisie controls the fucking old world, the fucking hegemonic idea, the fucking bourgeoisie, they control the way you think. What you want? The reason you want is because of them. It's because of the bourgeoisie." That's what he said. Except the communists, the class-conscious people say no. This game is bullshit. So they stab a cop to death, steal his guns, and take his car.
Nice.
Yeah. Which, I mean, had everyone done that, they would have had a chance. Unfortunately, there's only two of them. So they're shot to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sort of rad libs, they make it halfway to the flag, to the place where they are promised water. And they see that there's nothing there. At which point, they decide to stand their ground. But at that point, it's too late for them. The tyranny has come forth to kill them. And they acted too late. So they meet their doom. Bless you. And now the last
cough.
Fuck you then.
Fuck you, fuck me.
Well, fuck you, fuck me.
That's what I'm saying. Tomato.
Tomato, spaghetti. That's what I say.
Tomato. Alfredo.
I have an awesome drawing of Peter Griffin in my notes.
Can that be the picture? Make that the picture.
Yeah, that's gonna be the image of the week. Awesome Peter Griffin. Go to the description. You're going to see an imager link. And our very talented artist, Vero. Joku, you plug Pharaoh. They're awesome.
Pharaoh! I don't know if you're listening. You're listening! Fucking... Okay, Pharaoh, our artist. Check them out. Fuck off. Shut up.
I was gonna speak Spanish. I'm doing this. Okay.
Alright, Pharaoh is an awesome artist from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spain. Check them out. Their at is, let me pull it up real quick.
Praxis Studio with a V.
Yeah, Praxis Studio.
Like returning to tradition, except the tradition is Catalan militancy.
Yeah. Check out our artist now. Yeah. Follow them.
Commission them or else. Cause we
commission them to draw you a giant.
We make them work for exposure.
Yeah, make them draw you like with Peter Griffin.
Dude, that'd be awesome. All right. So, our last group, they make it all the way to the flag, but in what looks like Rodney King riot footage, there's a giant line of police, and then they're beaten to death.
Womp womp.
And then the BBC cameraman that's following them around is like, "Oh, I called lawmen. You killed them. You killed them. Oh, boy, brother. Oh, I can't believe you've done this." Yep. And then credits roll, and funnily enough, two of the actors got caught up on bullshit charges right between recording and the film's release. I love America.
Woo! It's so...
Yeah.
Such a great company. Company? Country? Fuck.
I mean, the U.S. is just 10 corporations in a trench coat, so you're not wrong.
More like 3...
And that's what I call social commentary. Because we're not just the average movie podcast. We, like, combine it with leftist politics and somewhat edgy comedy in, like, this cool way.
Yeah, Rosa says the N-word.
Dude, you can't keep making that joke. Because, like... You've made it twice now.
Wait. Hitler mentioned. There we go. Now we're filling quotas.
Yeah, we've mentioned Hitler in every single episode but one. If you can tell me which one in the comments, I'll pin it. Real comments will know. Did you like the name for my fan base? For our fan base that we came up with?
I like my fan base.
My fan base? I mean our fan base that I came up with.
You're a communist. Why did you say my? I want to circle back to that.
I don't believe in pronouns. I'm a communist, idiot.
Oh, shit.
All pronouns are made up. Well, this podcast belongs to them.
Yeah.
Because they control what you listen to.
Yeah.
I mean, we're part of that group, so.
Yeah.
Podcasters. Yeah, what was I on about?
I don't know.
I don't know.
We were talking about Hitler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was saying, stop saying that I say the N-word. I have not said the N-word since 7th grade.
Same.
You know why? You want me to tell a story?
Tell the story.
So, for some fucking reason, my dumb fuck English teacher, who I blame fully, had us read in groups, To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, I grew up in the city. I live in an immigrant neighborhood. I've heard the word around. I know I'm not supposed to say it, except I think there's really a problem with it. So, when we were reading To Kill a Mockingbird in groups, I offered where if anyone in the group was uncomfortable reading out the N-word, I would say it for them. And that's not a joke. That's fully real. And for some reason, my teacher said, class, you can say it if you want to.
Oh my god.
So, was I wrong to do that? Yes. Did it come from the place of someone who just really didn't know better but probably should have? Yes. Do I still blame my 7th grade English teacher for it? Completely? Yes.
I love that.
I don't know. I feel like most people say the N-word in the car when they're listening to rap music. At least people that really hate rap music, you know?
I feel like white women go onto the stage with Kendrick Lamar and say it.
White women who really hate Kendrick Lamar.
And then get kicked off.
To be honest, why would you ever give the white woman and the... Like,
why would you ever bring the white woman on stage?
Yeah, I kind of blame Kendrick for that one. Like, if you bring a random 4chan Nazi on your Twitch stream and then they say some crazy shit. Like, I don't really blame the 4chan Nazi.
I mean, like, not a good, not good, but like,
I blame that's... you for platforming them. That's right, all white people are Nazis. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Yep, that's sincere. So, obviously that's all a commentary on false consciousness of, like, pursuing the grind. Because the people walking to the flag are your old friend from high school who texts you about a stock portfolio named Matthew. And his last name starts with a G.
Matthew G. If yep. You're out there.
And Scott, you're listening to this. You know who I'm talking about.
Matthew.
Come on, man.
I think what Rose is trying to say is that they have a crush on Matthew.
And they want
to kiss them.
Yeah, that guy's funny, except I don't like him. Like that. He's fine. He's just... Scott, don't send this to Matthew. Anyway. Did you have any criticisms of the movie?
I had a couple.
Let's go point by point, shall we? Criticism number one. Hello, Mr. Burns. Hello, I'm Mr. Burns. I believe that you have a letter for me.
What's your first name?
I don't know.
No, it's more, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Cut it, but don't actually.
No, I hope that the movie had that in it, but it didn't.
There is a lack of Peter Griffin in this movie. He's like, oh, this is worse than the time I chose Punishment Park. Peter, why wouldn't you just take a 20-year sentence? Lois, I thought it was like, freaking sweet, sexy Parks and Recreation.
I thought it was a sweet deal.
Peter, I can't wheel up this hill. Joe, you're gonna have to run. I don't have legs, Peter. That's my personality trait.
You sound like Trump.
By the way, Peter, can I borrow your lawnmower? But Joe, it's a push mower. Yeah. You have no legs, Joe. Oh yeah, I'm Joe Swanson. And this... is Punishment Park, only on the Disney Channel.
Can our little slave Turn that into a clip, please.
Yeah,
thank you.
The little Irish fuck.
Yeah, fuck her, little Irish freak.
That's why they're my ex. That's how they pay alimony.
They're your ex?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, and he's my ex.
Oh.
No, we're still really good friends, though.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, dude, shout out Annie. Some shorts will probably be up on the main channel by the time this goes up. And Annie edited those, and she's awesome. And Annie, if you're hearing this, you're a lovely human being. Mwah.
Annie, if you're hearing this,
work harder.
Work harder?
Why aren't you working?
Why aren't you working?
If you're hearing this, that's probably because you're slacking off.
If you're hearing this,
do a rosary, you Catholic freak.
Back to the movie.
Mr. Burns, and I have my first criticism.
Alright, you shoot.
What?
Oh, I thought you said you have your first criticism.
No, you're Mr. Burns.
I'm not Mr. Burns. I'm more Smithers.
Smithers, can you have anal sexual intercourse with me?
Anyway, my first criticism.
I'm gay, Mr. Burns.
Shut the fuck up.
But Mr. Burns, I'm gay.
Shut. The first criticism I have is technically, it's a little rough around the edges, which adds to it. But it still can be very noticeable.
Yeah. It's a mockumentary.
Yeah, but like still, just because like it's shot in like that kind of style doesn't avoid it from those criticisms.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'm aware of them.
Yeah, and like here's the thing. I think that the sort of mockumentary style was probably the best way that they can do what they wanted to do with this movie. Because I'm assuming that's like a micro budget project.
Definitely. Did you not see like the amount of sets used? Like it's just like a tent and a desert.
They have a desert and a tent.
Just a tent, yeah. I will say, though, that this movie was very much ahead of its time, I found.
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, a 71 flick, and, like, oh my god.
And, like, no budget.
Yeah, no budget, and, like, it blew me away of how, like, ahead it was. No. Like, just.
And I was coming off of seeing Civil War. That fucking movie. We're having a special episode for that. I'm orchestrating a soundtrack for that.
Do you want
episode.
Me to watch the movie?
No, that's the whole premise.
That I don't watch it?
Yeah.
But I want to watch it.
No, not until we do the episode. I'm sorry.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I have like weeks of planning into this. I can't.
You saw it last week.
You don't know how hard I've been working on this. But you'll see, I have something very special planned. Having just seen Civil War, this movie felt kind of like what Civil War was wanting to do, except 20 times more grounded, 20 times more realistic feeling. And it had the balls to realize that politics are political and that you need to make a political message when you're making a movie about fucking politics.
True. That is a true statement.
All right. Is that all you have to say in the technicals?
There was, like, technicals of just, like, actor... You know, not saying lines great, which happens.
Yeah.
And it does add, you could say. You could make that argument.
Yeah, like, a lot of the line fuck-ups are when they're They've been walking for a full day in 106 degree weather without drinking water.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not saying, like, it's a bad thing. I'm just, like, noticing them. Mainly, I found
I'm saying it now so we don't get snarky comments. Defending obscure indie film from 1971. No, wait, I am that person. Oh, shit. God damn it. Never mind.
Oh, you can talk about your experience in the movie theater. With, like, the snarky people. And then you saw yourself, you said?
Dude, okay. What was the name of the movie I saw?
Civil War?
No, it was a Italian film.
Oh.
Let me go on... Sorry for the typing sound.
Oh, I do it all the time. You hear my little mouse clicks.
Yeah. I hear them. But you know why the audience doesn't?
You're a great editor.
Yeah. La Chimera. I saw La Chimera. And this loud-ass motherfucker that probably listens to this show was sitting behind me. And every time this movie changed aspect ratios, he said to the uninterested person next to him, "Oh my god, that's the European... They changed it to the European 16 again. They changed it to 4x3 again. They're shooting it on this type of film. Oh my god." It was okay. It was like a 6 out of 10. Pretty good. But that made me want to turn around and punch him. And then I thought, wait
a
minute.
That's me. That's so me.
I do that for an hour plus at a time. Weekly. And then I do hours of editing so 17 people can listen to me do that, which is basically a small movie theater.
Hey, we're growing.
No, I'm not saying that disparagingly. We've actually been making a lot of rapid growing. We peaked on number 91 on the Apple Podcasts film review charts in the United States, which...
Not bad. Top 100.
For how new we are, that's a huge goal, achievement. Like, that's awesome. There's been a lot of support. We're very happy. We love it. I made a subreddit, if any of you are interested.
I didn't know about this, and I'm glad I didn't.
I had to make a Reddit account for this shit. So if anyone uses Reddit, you can be the mod. First come, first serve. Just don't.
That's not a good idea. At least perform some.
I'm going to perform a vigorous background check on you. First come, first pass my vigorous background check. Yeah, so check that out. Any other criticisms?
Mainly that. I will say I liked... This is not a criticism segment over or whatever. I'm just bouncing around. But I did like the use of, like, sound design within, like, music, the lack of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was only a little bit at, like, the very end. And some, like, loud noise, like, kind of industrial-sounding noises.
Yeah. The film was very ahead of its time in so many regards. And I really do think that when it comes to my perspective of the film, it's getting major bonuses for what it accomplished with pretty much two sets, a bunch of college students, and what couldn't have been more than two cameras, you know?
Yeah.
The very, very small production and just a absolute triumph of 1970s cinema, in my opinion.
Yeah, this one, I think it's a very underrated, like, achiever.
Mm-hmm. But
thank you for showing me. Do we want to rate it now?
Yeah, we'll rate it. And I think that we have time to talk about Love Lies Bleeding for a little bit.
Okay, that works for me. We'll try again. All right. Would you like to give your score first, or do you want mine?
You can give your score first.
I will give it 15. A honorable 10 out of 15 on the cum scale.
All right.
Maybe, actually, I'm going to do an 11.
Holy shit. 11 out of 15?
I'm gonna bust.
Holy finger balls. By the way, before I give my official, rating, we have the all-new, incredibly high-tech, cum chart. Where we have listed every movie that we have watched over the course of this show in a best to worst ranking.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about where we think this one belongs.
Yeah. I'm looking, and I think that I would be remiss if I did not give this movie a well-deserved 13 out of 15. It blew me away, and it shattered the expectations that I had for it, knowing the limitations of its production. If you haven't seen this movie, which you probably haven't, you should watch it. This is better than 90% of blockbusters coming out now, and it truly proves the statement that limitations breed innovation. Now, 11 plus 13, that's 24. And you know what else is a 24?
What?
Out of 3? Killers of the Flower Moon.
It's better. Put it in front.
Better than Killers of the Flower Moon, which makes this
number 4.
Well deserved. Our number 4 movie.
So far, out of how many movies? What are we at? Like,
out of 8? 10.
Oh, out of 10.
Yeah, so, number 1 spot.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Number 2.
Zone of Interest.
And number 3, Under the Skin.
Yep. Number 4, this movie. Punishment
Park.
Number 5, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Number 6, Porco Rosso.
Number 7, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Number 8, Miller's Crossing.
Number 9, Cyber Seduction, His Secret Life.
And at number 10, Girl Finds Out She's Adopted.
That's not the full man title. You have to
number 10, sorry. I'm sorry.
You have to yell the all caps.
I know. Girl finds out she's adopted. Danger Bell! Garmin.
Alright, the highest score we've given so far is 29 out of 30. We've yet to see...
almost about to bust.
An elusive 30 out of 30. We have yet to see a zero, but...
Give zeros, so I don't think we're ever going to see a zero.
I think that we might end up finding a zero.
I don't give zeros. No matter how bad, I'm always going to give, like, one. Or the low, like...
0.5 for the lowest.
0.5, yeah.
Well, Girl Finds Out She's Adopted is 0.5 away from being the lowest possible score. It got
what,
a
did we give it a 1?
A 1.5.
I think the lowest that... do you do zeros?
Yeah, I do zeros if a movie's bad enough.
Okay. So, lowest we would get is 0.5.
I don't know. Maybe there'll be a movie that comes along and makes you give out zero.
No. I've seen so much shit that, like, there's no way.
Well, if it was, like, racist and bad.
Yeah, I've seen the movie Skin.
Damn. Damn, this has seen Skin. Wait a minute, you have to censor that out.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, why are you apologizing? I'm the one that called you. a word that I can't say on YouTube. Yeah. This is an incredible movie. You should watch it.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about a movie that's not incredible and sucks ass. Joku.
Yeah.
Can I trust you to take plot summary?
No, but thank you for trusting me. Love Size Bleeding is a very confused film with what it wants to do on a tonal structure. It does not know what area of craft it wants to be in, if it wants to be a thriller, horror movie, murder mystery, mobster, romantic. It's just a lot of stuff, and it's trying to do everything, and it and when you try to do everything, you kind of fail at everything within, like, a movie perspective.
It's like my bitch of an ex-wife.
Yeah. So, you go through certain phases of the movie, where the first act is very heavy on a romantic kind of body builder kind of movie.
Romantic bodybuilder core.
Yeah, and then whenever you get to the second act, it starts to get more into a mobster crime thriller.
And if you think Joku sounds schizophrenic, she's not the writer behind this movie is, so...
Yeah, so it kind of just stays in that lane for the rest of it, but...
And then at the end...
it goes bananas off the wall. It goes really wacky.
Okay.
How was that plot synopsis?
It was perfect. And if you think that sucks, go see the fucking movie, and you'll realize that it tries to be everything, and it succeeds at nothing, other than being incredibly well shot.
And some like decent acting.
And decent acting. It's like if you got ChatGPT to write a movie, and like, a very competent director. Rose Glass is a very talented director. Clearly, very talented actors, very talented cinematographers, and horrible sound designers, all together to make this movie.
Oh my god, the sound design! I forgot the sound design.
Now look. You've heard this podcast. It doesn't sound great. That's not my fault. But
it's somebody here.
It's somebody else's fault, but I'll take the blame. Because I do some sound design work. And I know good sound design when I hear it. I know enough to be dangerous. And you know what else I know about? Guns. Guns are cool.
Oh my god.
And you know when you combine these two things, you see someone holding a gun steady, and then randomly makes a cocking noise when they're holding it with both hands and the slide does not rack. When you hear that, you know it's bad sound design.
Yeah.
Yep. And the sound design in this movie sucks. They go to a gun range and the bolt being fucking cocked back is louder than the gunshots on all of the guns. The film just like has so many loose ends that it just gives up on. Like the gym, which is the setting for the whole first act, is just forgotten about seemingly. Insane murder bitch, but in a hot way. Her motivation is going to a bodybuilder show, and then that plot is just thrown out of the window after half-assedly coming up with some plot armor to get her there in a hippie van that she saw that just happened to be going to Vegas from Lord knows.
There's like random fucking like third act, like, oh, now we hate each other kind of thing.
Yeah, dude, this movie makes you feel like an insane person talking about it. It makes me feel like oh, I suck at giving plot summaries, because every time I go to talk about this movie, I'm like...
What is there to talk about? Where do I start?
We forgot about the whole steroid subplot, and she starts tripping off of steroids.
Yeah.
We forgot about that.
Well, like, it tries to go weird, but, like, it's all weird in the third act. So it's, like, already kind of lost,
it's like
I find
one toe dipped in the weird pool. And again, it's trying to be a hundred
different
movies at once.
Like, I wish it would have
once.
Committed.
Yeah, what's most frustrating about this movie is that it's competently made. And there's, like, 8 out of 10, frankly, movies in there. Like, it is a lot. No.
I would say maybe like 6 or 7s out of
6 out of 7. No,
like
but,
good, like, I mean, like
potential.
Decent, like, good stuff, possibly.
Like, just to say, like, best case scenario, you can have a good movie out of at least one of those ideas. Except taking a bunch of good ideas and smashing them together while haphazardly tearing off bits of the good ideas until they're unrecognizable, you're going to be left with something less than the sum of its whole parts. Now, let's talk shit on gay people. Joku.
Fuck gay people.
Talk about Saltburn.
Why are we dropping Saltburn on me right now?
You're going to say it fucking sucks.
I'm not a big hate. I hate the reception of Saltburn because, like Love Lies Bleeding, it is a queer film that is very kind of surface level with, like, its presentation. It's going for that little art student, artsy-fartsy, 4-3 ratio, nice-looking colors.
The eye roll, I think, will come through on audio there.
That kind of shit. Very TikTok shit. But, yeah. And I feel like it's not very substantive, the movie. It's been, like, a while since I've seen it, and I've kind of, like, pushed that aside. But it's just, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like, it's got kind of, it's very similar to Love Is Lies Bleeding, with my criticisms of it being feeling shock value core, for the sake of shock value.
Which, I mean,
it's not a bad thing, but
yeah,
I wish there was some meat on the bones.
I mean,
if you're gonna,
we just explained why Punishment Park is a cinematic triumph. Like, a movie about police officers hunting hippies for sport in the desert. Because
it's got some big
violence.
Fucking meat on them bones,
yeah,
and they're yummy
or
to
like
eat.
Silo 120 Days of Sodom, which we'll talk about soon.
Oh.
That movie's awesome. It's on my list.
I know. You mention it every 5 seconds.
I know, I love that movie. But,
I feel that.
Yeah. So, the reason I had you bring up Saltburn is just to say we as queer people seem to be very easily marketed to.
Well, like, to be fair, I've talked about Saltburn
is gay
with people and stuff, but, like, representation matters. And, like, even if it's, like, just for the sake, it doesn't feel, it kind of doesn't feel super pandering. I mean, at least to me. Some other queer people might share a different sentiment.
Let me crack my neck real quick. Representation breeds contentedness.
Yeah.
The people in Hollywood boardrooms hate you. They want you dead. They see you as nothing but a piggy bank to crack open and steal the tender insides out of.
I will say, though,
your liberation will never come through the establishment.
Give me 1 second.
Do not
speak.
Chase the American flag in the desert.
All right. I will say, I think that there should be more movies just with characters who are queer, just like doing stuff. I don't need like a come out story every movie.
Yeah. And that's where,
because that's not
the fact that I'm a sociologist kind of is given priority over my extreme want to say, oh, representation doesn't matter. Because my dear viewer,
representation does matter.
You were tricked. Representation does matter because people get parasocial relationships to characters in media, which isn't the spooky word that people like to think about as. It's just like there's a halo effect given to
wait, you think people black characters are get parasocial include... about characters?
Is that a sarcastic rhetorical question or? Oh my god, they're holding up Chainsaw Man Himino Woman. And they're pointing at their Chainsaw Man Himino Woman tattoo. Yeah. Characters, like, diverse representation in media leads to people having more positive feelings about minorities portrayed in media, which is why it's important. However, you shouldn't eat up every ounce of representation, because it's not. You don't need to like act like something that really isn't that great is great just because you're happy to see queer art being backed by a major company, because great queer art is out there, and it's not being produced by A24, it's being produced by Composting, who you can support on Patreon.
Quick side note, Saltburn is not A24. Don't know if Rosa knew that or not.
I did know that, but rhetoric.
It's like the same kind of style as, yeah, I guess, because you ask people, oh fuck, I just had a flashback. Last week at work, I saw a guy, while I was making them their coffee, I saw a guy with an A24 hat, and I asked him what his favorite A24 film was. Would you want to take a guess of what they said?
Black Panther, and then they put their fist in the air and they said, Wakanda Forever, and then they did Wakanda Forever. And then, they said
Hereditary.
They said Ruth Conda Forever. And then they pulled up their sleeve, and then they had a tattoo of Ruth Bader Ginsburg as Black Panther. And then they did the Wakanda salute, and they said, Ruth Conda, over and out. And then they left without paying for their coffee.
No, they left without tipping.
And they paid full price. And they said, they counted out the change for you, 51. Yep, thank you.
Yeah. They said Hereditary. I just thought that was funny.
You should have said, I'm a film podcast. Fuck you.
I hate A24 films.
I hate A24. They make okay movies, but I hate the idea.
They made Civil War.
They made Civil War.
I just don't like A24 fans that much.
Yeah.
And I hate the sentence of it feels like an A24 movie.
It's like Baby's first subversive film.
Yeah.
Which
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. There's really good A24 films. But, yeah. Like, I just... It's just, like, liberalism as a movie.
Yeah. But do you want... Like, this isn't a full review of Love Lies Bleeding. We're not going to do that. But we will
rate
it.
We're just talking about a movie that we saw together.
Yeah, we will rate it.
Yeah.
What would you give it out of 15?
I don't remember what I gave
it. You gave it 2.5.
I thought I gave it a 2. Did I give it a 2?
You said it was 5 out of 10.
Let me take a peek. Peeksy weeksy.
I'll see what I want to give it.
It is a 2.5. I'll give it a 6 out of 15.
I'm going to give it a 5 out of 15.
That gives us an 11 out of 30. Do we have any other movies?
Oh, darn. That doesn't look so good on the awesome the awesome ranking. Oh, jeez.
Oh. What is that? Are there any other?
Oh, no. That looks like it's in third lowest, followed by Cyber Seduction. And
there's like a gap of 10 points from Miller and then fucking Love.
We did not like this movie.
No, I mean, like, 11's not... It's okay. It's like...
It's just a little bit below average.
Yeah.
4 points below average.
But you know what's funny? It's like there's a 10-point gap between Miller and then fucking Love's.
And I think in terms of our enjoyment, yeah, that's right. It's true.
Is it time for me to say a movie?
Oy vey, look at the time.
It is like an hour.
Yeah.
An hour and 2 minis.
After you say your movie, I have some housekeeping.
Why don't we do housekeeping now?
No, do it and then we'll do the housekeeping. It's like it's a cozy corner. It's like a fireside chat with Dennis Prager.
Oh, no, I think just end the episode with the recommendation.
Okay, well, we'll do the fireside chat with Dennis Prager. Quasimodo, play fireside chat with Dennis Prager. Hi, I'm Penis Prager. Welcome to my fireside chat. Today, you wanted to say that this is the first episode since that we have launched, and we have been overwhelmed with the kind words that we've received from people listening to the show. And we wanted to thank Vero, Annie, Vosh, Jeffiet, and Dead Domain for their kind words about the show.
Did Vosh actually leave kind words?
Yes.
What did they say?
I'm not going to repeat his email publicly.
Okay. But I was, like, out with a friend whenever you called me, so I
asked him about coming on. He wasn't... he's not able to. But yeah, he had some kind things to say. I reached out to pretty much every left-wing content creator on the sun. I know a lot of people won't like Bosch. I get that. I just threw it out there, because he seems like a nice guy. And he had a lot of nice things to say. So, of course, I'm going to thank him. And same thing with our very talented artist, Vero. Annie, my good friend, who is editing for us. Jeffiet, who had some great words of encouragement to me about me starting, us starting the show. Spoken to me about us, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Dead Domain, who expressed interest in coming on, which is really cool. Anyone that you wanted to thank?
Everyone who's watching and enjoying, thank you for being there and watching our little silly film discussions where we talk about movies.
It's awesome.
Means a lot.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to once a week for both of us, and the fact that people like listening to it is really fucking cool. Alright. And with that, what movie are we going to be watching for next week?
Give me a theme. Or, like, a kind of movie. I'm feeling a horror movie.
I want a movie with a jazzy soundtrack.
A jazzy soundtrack?
No, a soundtrack I'd like. A soundtrack that would make me go, ooh, that's funky.
A funky soundtrack.
You know me. You know what I like. And it's not 100 Gecs or a hyperpop, except for Charlie XCX, because she's hot.
Anyway.
You couldn't even disagree.
I love Charlie. I
love Charlie, and her music's okay too.
Anyway, we'll do a movie. We'll do a musical.
a musical.
Do you like musicals?
No.
Well, too bad. Fair,
the only We're musical watching... I've seen is Hamilton.
Well, too bad. We're watching this movie starring Bjork. It is Lars von Trier's. I believe it's 2000. It is 2000.
Let me read off my favorite tweet of all time from memory.
Wait, give me a sec. Let me. I already got it. It's 2000. Lars von Trier, starring Bjork. It is Dancer in the Dark.
All right. We'll end it off with a dramatic reading of my favorite Bjork-related tweet. I forget the man who said it, but his words speak volumes. Alt bitch, send me her playlist. Like, bitch, I'm from the hood. You think I listen to Bajonk? Truer words have never been spoken. Thank you.
So true.
That's Thanks for listening. All the links down in the shit. Joku, do you have any advice for these people to leave or live their lives by?
Always bring a box cutter with you. You never know when you're going to need to open a box.
And with that does it. Click all the good buttons. Give us 5 stars in Apple Music. Apple Podcasts. It really helps out. And I got inspired by this movie to make a piano arrangement of the Star Spangled Banner. So it'll be playing right now, performed by me.